First of all, I just want to thank the church for praying for me while I was going through what I was going through. Amen. When I was watching the news, it kind of looked like when Iran was trying to shoot the bombs over to Israel, you know, and you guys' this prayer was like the, you just eliminated all those bombs that was trying to aim towards me, yeah, and I'm getting better. I'm better today than I was yesterday, than the week before, you know, and I'm walking out my healing yet, amen. I know that the devil is a liar, amen. He's the father of all lies, amen. And like I said before, that's his native tongue, amen. If you're Hawaiian, you speak Hawaiian, amen. Pehea oi, which means how are you? And your response will be maika ino, thank you. I'm fine, thank you. Amen. And the devil, he is a liar, and that's his native tongue. That's how he speaks every day, all day long. He doesn't change his tune for nobody. Amen. That's just the way he speaks. And also another thing to learn about him is that he's also an accuser of the brethren. He's an accuser of the brethren. What does that mean, Elder Lambert? He accuses you to God about what? About the situations that you're going through. He's telling God, Sister Anel is not even qualified, Lord. Why are you even making her a greeter in the church? She's not qualified. You see all of the bad habits that she has. You see all this, all that. And that's what he does all day and all night. He takes you and I to God and he accuses us of things that God has already forgiven us from. Amen. Look at it in our Revelations. Let's go there. By the way, my topic for tonight is still the same. Pray and never give up. Okay? Pray and never give up. But I want to talk to you about a little something about him being the accuser of the brethren. Revelations chapter 12. As you can see, I don't have no notes tonight. So I came here with the intent of the Holy Spirit just moving me in the direction that he wants to move me. Because I was praying, I was asking God, Lord, I've been having a hard time memorizing scriptures as I get, you know, years in advance, you know. The mind has been challenged, you know. So I've been asking God, man, how can I get these scriptures down in me? How can I hold it down and well, the way he taught me how to do that was I just came off of a revival a couple weeks ago. I had to minister on the island of Kauai. And my time was on a Sunday morning. And when I went there, I didn't have no papers. I didn't have no pen. I didn't have no writing utensils, no tablets. And that's very rare for me. I usually write things down. I usually jot things down, things that I was thinking on, reading on, and I would always jot it down. Well, I got there on Wednesday. I stayed there, and I started helping my sister and them erect the tents and erect all of the chairs, the tables, and everything that needed to be set to get the revival going. And on Wednesday night, when I went to bed, I prayed. I said, Lord, I don't have nothing. What do you want me to minister on? And he doesn't say nothing. Thursday comes around, wake up, my usual time is usually around 3, 3:30, just seeking the Lord. And a lot of times when I'm praying, three-quarters of my time is just thanking him, is just praising him, is just allowing his presence to come in to the room that I'm in. You know, I'm just thanking him. I'm thanking him for his goodness. I'm thanking him for waking me up this morning with a sound mind. I'm thanking him for all the wonderful things that he has done. And it usually goes on within an hour and 45 minutes. And before I know it, it's time to, you know, it's time to wake up and, you know, do what you need to do. And I usually hold that time as being a time that I really need to hold, because if I don't, what happens, it gets lost in the day. If I don't hold that as like a holy thing or something that is dear to my heart, it can get lost in the day. You can get caught up with things that are around so quickly, especially in that early morning. So I went back to the Lord and to the Lord, hey, Lord, you know, I know that you're the God of all things. You can do things that, you know, with one snap of your finger and, you know, things can just change suddenly. So he doesn't talk to me Wednesday, Thursday. Well, that's what I think, okay? That's what I think. I'm asking him something and he doesn't respond, you know? So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. And at that time, it's very hard to explain, but I've never felt this way before, ever. I've never felt, I'm usually uneasy. I'm usually perplexed at that point, you know. I'm usually afraid. Fear tries to get in, but I felt a calmness. I felt at ease, like on the ship of Zion. Though it's a battleship, I felt a love boat while being on a battleship, you know. I don't know how to explain it, but it felt like that. So Sunday morning I wake up, and I ask the Lord, okay, Lord, you're the baker. I need bread to give to your people. He tells me this, three words he told me. He just tells me this clear as day. He just tell me, drop the pen. That's all he said, was drop the pen. Because I'm good at writing things down, yeah? And I can write forever, you know, things that I want to say, things that I want to give the church as far as, you know, things that inspired me or catches my eye or catches me, you know, write them down. And the reason why he said that, because on Friday night, Evangelist Quentin was ministering. And as he was ministering, he was walking up the aisle. I was kind of like three quarters of the way up the aisle. I was sitting on the right side of him. So he comes up to me and he hands me this pen. He gives it to me, puts it in my hand. I look at it. Wow, it's a Kahuku Raiders pen. And I was looking, oh yes, a score. I always wanted, well, not always, but when I saw it, I wanted it so badly. I said in my heart, oh, right on. He gave me a pen from Kahuku Raiders, the football team. And he used to live there, but now he lives in Ohio. And he goes around ministering. And he hands me the pen, only to take it away from me. He was doing some kind of illustration. I forgot what it was about. But he gave me the pen. I took it. And then he goes away, and then he comes back, and then he takes it back from me. So when the Lord told me to drop the pen, I knew exactly why. Because Friday night was the illustration. Drop the pen. When Quentin grabbed the pen, the Lord is actually telling me, you're not going to need to write anything anymore. Everything I'm gonna be able to absorb it. So I said, oh, cherry. But we're still dealing with the fact that I got to preach this morning, Lord. It's 4:30 now in the morning. Everybody's asleep. I'm the only one up. So he tells me, just go to bed. What? Just go to bed. You'll be fine. I said, okay, shoot. I go in the room, close the door, knock out. Don't wake up till like 8 o'clock in the morning. Church starts at 9:15. So I get myself ready. No pressure. Get myself ready and boom, lights on, ready to go. And I did it. Everything came from inside here. You know, it kind of reminded me of when Matthew chapter 3, yeah, when Jesus came out of the water after being baptized. The Bible says that like a dove, yeah, God's spirit, like a dove, descended from heaven upon him. Yeah. When I looked at that, I said, wow. One thing to know about doves is that although they're beautiful, they're easily spooked. Yeah? They're easily spooked. So when the Spirit of God is on you, we have to make sure that we don't spook it. How do we spook the Spirit of God? When we listen to things that we're not supposed to be listening to, yeah? When we go to places we're not supposed to be going to. When we're watching things that we're not supposed to be watching. It gets spooked and it flies away. Now to get it back, you're going to have to work just as hard to get it back. And like that spirit, I never read that the spirit descended from him. It just stayed on him. Now when he went into the wilderness, how many of you know that it was a piece of cake for him to speak to Satan the way he spoke to Satan because the Spirit of God was upon him, yeah? So, like us, we have to be careful. You know, we can be desensitized when we do things out of order, when we do things that are not right in the eyes of God. You know, I know we're talking about prayer. I'll get there. But Revelation chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse number 10. It says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." So this is what the devil does. To get the spirit unable to work in your life, he's trying to accuse you before you even come to church even. Tells you things that'll mess up your mind before you even get here. You know? He accused me tonight. He told me, "Bro, you can't even sing. Why you even try for sing? You gonna cough." That's what he told me while I was sitting down there. Because every time I would try to hold one conversation, I'm always coughing. And he was telling me that while I was sitting down. He told me, "Bro, don't even try and sing." You know what I did? I did the opposite. I sang anyway. I didn't pay attention. And that's what we need to do. When he speaks to you, speak to him back by doing the thing that he told you not to do. He's the accuser of the brethren. He will accuse you. You know, some of you had a hard time coming to church tonight. Because he was accusing you. "Oh, you shouldn't go. You're tired. You had a long day. You worked so hard, you're pooped already. Your mind's being challenged. You might as well just stay home and relax. Your body's aching. If you want to rest, just stay home, rest. You don't need to come to church." And that's what we have to battle with every time. But guess what? God in his infinite... Man, he's so awesome. He knows exactly what to do. Amen? And let me just show you some things that, you know, look at Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 3. This is what he tells Joshua. Joshua was the high priest at that time. This is not the Joshua from Moses' time, but this is another Joshua. Here's the high priest, yeah? Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him." Okay? "And the Lord said unto Satan," or the angel of the Lord rebuked thee, O Satan, even the Lord that had chosen Jerusalem." So here, Satan makes a false accusation about Joshua. He tells God, "Hey, you cannot choose Joshua to be the high priest. He's not qualified." He's telling God this now. So here comes the angel of the Lord and tells Satan, "The Lord rebuke you from on high." I'll take you another step. Jude chapter 9. We was talking about this when we had the elders meeting. Pastor brought it up. But Jude chapter 9. It was about the body of Moses, yeah? Somewhere here. Verse 9? Okay. Thank you. Verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuked thee." So here we see, everybody knows about Moses. He was the meekest man. Pastor just got to speaking about him on Sunday, yeah? The meekest man in the Bible, yeah? But he had a problem like everybody do, yeah? He had an anger issue that he was dealing with, amen? And here, the devil is trying to tell God, hey, you cannot take Moses' body to heaven. You cannot. Why? Because he's a hothead. He has anger issues. He's a murderer. When he was at Pharaoh, he killed one of the men. Yeah, you guys remember that? And then when he goes out into the wilderness, he starts running away from Pharaoh. What happened? 40 years in the desert. He meets up with God. Yeah? And then you remember the time that he had to go up to the, I think it was Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments. He comes down, he sees who? Aaron and all the people of Israel worshiping the calf. What does he do with the Ten Commandments? He breaks it, yeah? Anger issues, yeah? And here, he's trying to remind God about what Moses had done. Hey, you cannot take him to heaven. He's a murderer. He gets angry fast. He's a hothead. You cannot do that. And here, God says again, Lord, rebuke you, Satan. There's a lot of things he's going to accuse you of. But you know what? You tell him exactly what the Lord said. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. And that's the end of the story. Why? Because we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Hallelujah. That's why prayer is so important. Prayer is very, very important. It allows you to hear from him. It allows you to know his plans. It allows you to see things that you wouldn't normally see if you hadn't had prayed. Amen? It's very important that we keep that as one of the top priorities in our list. Especially before you start your day. You should start it with prayer. It's vital. It's essential, as I said before. You know, they didn't think that it was essential when COVID hit. They would rather have had the church doors closed and nobody go to church than to see you pray and go to church. You know what I mean? They didn't think that it was essential. They thought that the bars was essential. Marijuana was essential. You know, all the drugs that they have out there was essential. You know, leaving things open. I mean, outrageous, yeah? But prayer couldn't. Church doors could not be open. Amen? But thank God. Thank God. Now we learn, yeah? Who's the master plan behind this? Satan. His job is to take us down before our time. That's why I believe no man knoweth the hour, nor the time, not even Jesus know when he's coming back for us. You know why? So that Satan no more clue. So that he cannot be wielding up something because he don't know when the time Jesus is going to come back. So guess what he's doing right now? He's trying to get everybody, as much as people as he can, to fall before Jesus comes because he don't know when Jesus is coming. The Bible says that twinkling of an eye. So he doesn't know. So guess what he does? He bombards you each and every day. That's his plan. I don't know when he's coming. I'm going to just bombard them. You can imagine how much chaos there is in the realm of Satan and hell. Can you imagine the chaos? All they do is bicker and fight. Can you ever see them coming together and try to work together to have a plan to get you? And I don't see that happening. All I see is chaos. Whenever I think about Satan, all I see is chaos. They can never work one plan together. That's how I see them. You know, when you get love, everything works together. Yeah? But when you get hate, you get anger, you get animosity, nothing works. And that's how I see Satan. Whenever the lecture come up with them plan, they don't can. They're always fighting with each other. And on top of that, they're trying to get you. It's total chaos. Amen? But I thank God for his word, yeah? And the scripture that I used as the foundational scripture is found in Luke chapter 18, yeah? Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Man ought always to pray and not faint. Why? Because there's a tendency that you might faint in doing well. Amen? There's a tendency. Why? Because of the pressures of life, because of situation, circumstances. Amen? Folks, they lose it when they don't have money, they don't have a job. But guess what? When you have God and you have prayer backed up by God, things will run. Things will run better than when you don't pray, than when you don't seek God. You know what happened? Oh, one morning, I got up early in the morning as I usually do, and the Lord already told me what to do. He told me, oh, today you're going to go to Carl's Jr. There's going to be a girl standing at the cash register, and this is what you're going to tell her. Well, in actuality, before you tell her, you're going to pray a blessing over her. I said, oh, okay. It kind of like caught me off guard, but yeah, I'm going to do what he said, because what I did is I told the Lord, anything you want me to do, I'll do it. Before that, I was scared because I know he was going to use me once I say that, yeah? So he did. That morning, he told me, okay, this is what you're going to do. So this is what I do. First thing, I go to work. There's only two guys that goes to Carl's Jr., me and this other guy. So I go to my truck and I open up the door. I look. Carl's Jr. Okay, I know what I'm going to have to do now. I close that thing down. I take my paperwork. I head down to Carl's Jr. I go to Carl's Jr. While I'm driving there, I'm blessing this girl. I don't know this girl from the man to the moon, mind you now. I don't know her. All I know is what I heard from the Lord. So I start blessing her while I'm driving there. When I reach there, I told the Lord, what am I going to say? I don't know what to say. You know, you're telling me to speak to this girl. I don't have a clue what I'm going to say. He said, I'm going to feel it when you get there. I said, okay, shoot. So I go there, bring all the supplies in, put it in the refrigerator. I see she's by the shelf, stacking up the shelves, making it all neat. I told her, excuse me, ma'am, can I speak to you? Mind you now, usually that's this time, the store is packed. Because it's early, everybody's rushing to go to work. They usually come grab coffee, whatever it is. The whole place is empty, just me and her. She's down on her knees, perfect posture, on her knees, you know. And I reach to her, and the Spirit of God just unleashes out of me from in here. I tell her, oh, the Lord just wanted me to tell you that while coming here, I was praying for you. You may think that this is weird. It's weird to me also, but I'm going to explain to you what he told me to tell you. And then he starts speaking through me. He told me that you're a breath of fresh air. This is what I'm telling her now. You're a breath of fresh air, and the Lord's blessing you right now. And then, I don't know, for some reason, every time I speak to people, they have this thing within them, like you ever been held underneath the water and then you come up. This is how she felt. When I got to speaking to her, she let up a gulp of air like. I told her, you know that you can do CPR without even doing CPR on every person that comes through this door. And God just wants to bless you. And then she started crying. Tears started going down her eyes. And I said, you know, you have a blessed day. I didn't need to pray for her or anything. I just came, spoke to her a word, and then I left. I don't know what this lady was going through. Maybe because she gives us so much that she's waiting for somebody to give back to her. You know, I don't know. But I know that God did something to her. And that's the thing about God, yeah? He's so sovereign. He doesn't care if you know him or not. He's going to give you a word. Amen? The Bible says that it rains on the just and on the unjust. Guess what? The sun is still shining for those that are there that are wicked, even for those that are righteous. So when I spoke to her, I didn't ask her if you know the Lord. I didn't ask her if you were saved or nothing. He just told me to say what I said. And because of that, you know, he keeps on speaking to me now. One day I was finished at work, another testimony. I came out of my work. I just was done. It was on a Saturday afternoon, about 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I came out, headed straight to my car. Upon going to my car, I see this guy with his golden retriever. He's walking his golden retriever. I look at him, oh, beautiful, the golden retriever. But I don't think nothing. I go inside my truck, and then I heard the Spirit of the Lord tell me, just wait. I said, okay, I'll wait. So I watched the guy walk in. Out of nowhere, about 400, maybe about 300 to 400 feet away from me, this pit bull comes running. He's running, and oh, I could see the pit bull. I mean, he was coming with vengeance. He was just like, boom, boom. And then he gave a good yelp, woof. And all I saw is this pit bull heading straight for that golden retriever. And then the owner saw him coming. And I was wondering, wow, where's the owner for the pit bull? This thing's coming around the corner with nothing, no leash, nothing. The leash was like broken, and he just came. And he only had one thing on his mind, to get that golden retriever. So as he's coming to the golden retriever, the dog launches, full on launch. His mouth is wide open, and I'm looking at this like I'm watching a movie. The dog launches and he grabs onto the golden retriever and he pins him down. The owner, by the way, he's punching him, he's kicking him, he's doing everything possible. And he's trying to separate the two dogs, couldn't separate them. Then all of a sudden I see the owner coming around the corner. Jersey! Jersey! He starts yelling at the dog, so now I know the dog's name is Jersey. So I come out of my car trying to help the guy. Then all of a sudden, the two dogs separate. Then I go to one, I tell the guy, hey, bro, you all right? Oh, shoot. So I start to look at the guy with the other dog. I tell him, hey, man, you should get control of your dog. You cannot be doing this. No, I'm so sorry. I'm going to lay him down. I'm going to take him to the Humane Society. I'm gonna just lay him down because I just got him from the Humane Society. So he's telling me all this, and then the other guy has all bite marks from the pit bull. So then he picks up his dog, and then he starts walking away. And while the two guys are being separated, I walk to my car, and then the Lord tells me, no, you're not done yet. Get back over there. I said, in my breath, I said, you lying devil. You lying devil. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I went over to the first dog. I knelt down, I started hugging the golden retriever. I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, whatever this trauma, this dog had been traumatized right now, Father, I pray that your shalom, Father, be over this dog. After I got to praying that dog, oh, this owner just started weeping, started crying. He says, wow, man, you prayed for my dog. Who does that? I said, God loves you, bro. God loves you. In the name of Jesus, you are healed. Even though you got all those bite marks, he ain't going to do nothing to you. You are healed in Jesus' name. Then the guy that had the pit bull, I start walking. Oh, the guy got scared because he thought I was going to come and attack him because I came with vision because I was mad at the devil, not at him. You know, so my look kind of scary. So I kept thinking, oh, no, I'm going to take him down. I thought, no, you don't have to. To what? Yeah, you don't have to lay it on your dog. It's going to be all right. So I went down. I didn't even think about the dog turning on me. I just went and I grabbed the dog and I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, whatever traumatized this dog from doing what he does, Lord, I want you to ease off on this dog. Release everything from this dog. And touch the owner as well, Father, in Jesus' name. Him too, he was at awe. After what my dog did to the other dog, you still took the time out of to come and pray for my dog? Oh, man, what's your name? I said, oh, Lambert. Oh, man, that's so nice of you. And by the way, you don't need to lay down your dog. It's going to be all right. For real? Yeah, for real. But make sure you buy on chain now for your dog, that this does not happen again. And this all occurred because I took the time out to pray in the morning. God is always speaking, guys. He is always speaking, but are we listening? Are we hearing? You know, for the past however long years, I've been just trying a deaf ear to God. Until I said what I said to him, I meant it from the bottom of my heart. I said, Lord, whatever plan you have for me, I'm willing for doing, even if I don't know how. I may not know how to do it right, but I'll do it as long as you tell me. And you give me the words, because I don't know what to say. In times like these, he put the thing in me. He put it in me. And I thank God for that, yeah? So men ought always to pray. You know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, I said, pray without ceasing. What does that mean? You can pray wherever you are. Amen? In a crowd, you can pray. At home, on the job, while you're driving, keep your eyes open. Amen? We can do it wherever we go. You know, tonight is a miracle that I can speak to you guys freely, and I've only coughed like 3 times. I usually cannot hold a conversation very long without coughing. Over and over and over again. God is doing something, yeah? God is doing something. I'm going with what's coming from in here, yeah? What's been, whatever you put in here. Like Pastor Noel said, yeah? If we feel over here, whatever's going to come out of here is based on what's been filled in here. So the Word of God needs to get in here. Once the Word of God gets in here, like how he told me, God actually put me on a spot. He told me, this is how I'm going to make you remember the scriptures. So I went that Sunday morning, okay? And I was like relaxed. I was at peace. And I just started unloading. After the service was done, so much people came up to me. They told me, wow, Brother Lambert, what you said encouraged me. What you said ministered to me in such a way that it made me realize that, oh man, there's a lot more that we need to do as a body of Christ. There's a lot that needs to be done. I said, yeah, and God's calling on you. God's calling on me. He's requiring us to step up already. You know, some of us have been here a long time already. We should be professors by now. But no, we're comfortable where we're at, yeah? So we figure, just cruise on the love boat, although it's a battleship. Amen? We do battle on this ship. Amen? As I speak, for those that have the ability to come on Saturdays, come. Amen. Your prayer is very important. Because when I was at home, I could feel you guys pray for me. Man, like I said, it was like those ballistic missiles that are being just thrown off. Like all exploded before you even reached. You know, I was watching the news about Israel. They have like three warning safety military thing that they use, like 370 something miles away. They would just blanket the whole area from missiles even reaching that range. Once it passes that range, they have another missile thing that they throw out at 270 miles away. And then if the thing pierces that, then their last and greatest protection, or their shield that they call it, is at 100 and something miles away. They blanket that too. And it's like radius, yeah, it's like a big circle that they do whenever missiles come. And I was like, wow. So can you imagine when you pray? Can you imagine when I pray? When I was praying, God gave me that girl at Carl's Jr. That's only one. Can you imagine if we all did that every single morning, God was to minister to you on who you're going to minister to tomorrow? The effect that you're going to have, that it's like you give them another day of breath. You're here because somebody prayed for you. You're not here by chance. It's by choice. Somebody took the time and got down on their knees and lifted up your name towards heaven and said, Lord, I don't know who this is for, but bless them. I don't know who this is for, but help them. Lord, the drug addict, help them, Lord. The homeless, whoever. The effects that we make when we pray. When we pray. That's why Jesus said, when you pray. Not if you pray. When you pray. Say, Our Father. Amen? Our Father. Abba. We can come to Him boldly before His throne of grace and mercy. Yeah? You remember when that woman came to the judge? He came to the judge because she knew she had the right to come to Him. She was a law-abiding citizen. And because she was a law-abiding citizen, there was no way that this judge was not going to help her. There was no way. That was his job. And she knew that. She came with the boldness that she had. She came with the tenacity that she had. And she knew that her answers was going to be made plain and simple to her. So now, it switches over. It says, how much more our God when we pray? Yeah? God tells us now, if this unruly judge that doesn't fear man, doesn't have no liking to any man, can help this woman, how much more me, your heavenly Father, if you lift up your prayer to me, I'm not going to answer him speedily. That's how fast God can answer all prayers. Remember Daniel? The Bible says since the first day he prayed, God said, I already answered your prayer. It's just by the way coming over here, we had some, you know, missiles that we had to tend with. You know? These drones that we had to deal with. 300 of them. You know? 110 ballistic missiles on top of the 300 drones that was coming. I had to deal with all that. But your answers was already prayed since the first day. So you can imagine how much effect our prayer has. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. I want God to do something that is outrageous. And He's been doing things that are outrageous now. I just haven't seen it because I haven't asked for it. Bible says you ask not, that's why you receive not. I don't see things happening because I don't ask for it. When I pray, things just pop in my head. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Blah, 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 blah. I don't ask Him for stuff. So I don't ask Him for things anymore. I'm more worried about giving Him honor, giving Him praise, just thanking Him. And on top of that, He releases things to me.
He opens up my eyes. He lets me see things, and he speaks through me. Because if that was me talking to the lady, that wasn't me. That was him through me. I was just a vessel. These are just little stuffs that I'm telling you. If I was to tell you the big stuffs, do you guys have time? We can go on until tomorrow morning. Because ever since I said that, he's been showing me things, allowing me to witness things, allowing me to speak the way I speak. And man, it's just amazing. It's a ride. And I'm enjoying it. Hallelujah. And staying home was the worst. And the enemy's just been trying to pound and pound. Here, go pick on this guy. But this guy's still making us all chaotic over here in hell. Go over there and bring symptoms to his body. Let him get all sore throat. But you know what? Bring it on, bro. Bring it on. I've been desiring this for a long, long time because I've been watching our leaders. You know, I watch Pastor Herman when he goes into the prison. Man, guys can be quarreling. And he would just speak to them, boom. And things would just be eased off. It's like, whoa, where that went? Two guys ready for a scrap. Here comes Pastor Herman. He just says something, and then the thing just peeled. All the fire that just got started just... And I've been watching their lives. And I say, oh, Lord, I like what they got. And because I'm under their oil, I have to have it. It has to go on me. Because I'm under that oil. I'm under that same anointing. And because they're hooked up to Pastor Nancy now, we're under all that oil too. Can you imagine the increase that's on each and every one of us because we're linked? Divine connection? Whatever is on them, it's on us. And I'm taking it. When I walk out of my house, I'm walking with the confidence in knowing that, hey, today is going to be a better day than yesterday. And I'm going to affect more people today than I did yesterday. Everywhere I go with an attitude of gratitude. Good morning, even when they don't say good morning. Good morning, how are you day doing? 1 week, I didn't go because I stayed home. Next week, oh, what, bro, where you was? Oh, we thought you had quit. I said, no, I'm still here. Oh, thank God. Yeah, you should be thanking God. He's the reason. So pray and don't give up. That's the message to you tonight. Pray and don't give up. I'm going to have to get used to this. So what I'm going to have to do is get more into the Word and build it up in here so that when I come, I don't need to use notes. I mean, notes is good. I need notes too. But just for this time, I don't know why he hasn't been letting me to write. He just told me, drop the pen. For how long? I don't know. Maybe this is just a warm-up, yeah? A warm-up, a starter kit to knowing how to be led and moved by the Holy Spirit. Yeah? So I'm taking whatever he allows me to do so. And I'm comfortable because, you know, I got the dove, yeah? I don't want to spook him. So how do I keep it on me? Watching what I read, watching what I speak, the way that I act. Because sometimes I don't act cool like I'm supposed to, you know? You know, like most of us, we lose it. We have our moments, yeah? All of us do, yeah? But thanks be to God. Amen? Father, thank you, God, for tonight. We thank you for your presence in this place, Father. I pray, God, Lord, that your word was vital to every part of their bodies, their minds, their spirit, their soul, the emotions. Father, I thank you, God, Lord, for the word that you've given me to speak tonight, Father, Lord. With the authority that you've given me, I'm more than just a king's kid, but I'm a king, Father. Lord, I'm a prophet of my own home. I'm a leader, Father. Lord, you've given us, each and every one of us, that same authority as kings, as ambassadors for you, Father. We speak, oh God, Lord. Lord, because you are in us, oh God, Lord, we speak boldly, Father. We're not afraid, Father, when we speak. We speak because we have the authority of you, Father, in us. And Lord, we thank you, God. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.